Hello and welcome to the 12th episode of the TFG1 podcast, recorded on April 10th, 2009. I am your host, Michael Blanchard. Hey there, folks. It's Michael Blanchard back with you again. Sorry for the short episode this time, but when splitting up the episodes for reviewing, I didn't want a two-parter such as Megatron's Master Plan or The Key to Vector Sigma. I didn't want them to be split up between podcast episodes. So today we will be having four episodes of G1. There really isn't much going on since episode 11. There just isn't. I'm still working constantly. I've actually reworked the entire podcast as far as how I will be reviewing the shows and stuff. So I hope everybody likes the new format here. And let's get going on this. Really want to introduce people to the new format and hope they enjoy it. So let's get into some episodes.
You're the one who's been putting out the ultrasound.
Correct. My accomplice is behind you.
I've been waiting a long time for this. You poor excuse for a sound system.
All talk, no shock.
Alright, first up today is Autobop. And what I'm going to be doing is, I have made bullet notes for the plot, and then I've made my thoughts afterwards, but I'm also going to be reading the little blurb. I think in my Twitter post I posted blurb. What the fuck is a blurb? I have no idea. But I'm going to be reading the little blurb out of the booklet that comes with each of the DVD sets. So, Autobop. Something sinister is happening at a hot new downtown club, Dancitron. After noticing an inglorious... An incongruously... I don't know what the hell that is. Diverse clientele, Trax and Raoul investigate only to discover Decepticon involvement. There's... Like I said, there's a new club in town. Raoul appears in this episode. His first appearance was... in Make Tracks. The Dancitron guards don't want the kids street dancing. Raoul and his friends do some break dancing on the street, kind of like, you know, if you go to San Francisco and there's people playing guitars and for, you know, whatever. No one believes Raoul knows the Autobots. His friends don't believe him. Trax and Blaster show up and save Raoul and his friends. They realize the nightclub is a source of Decepticon activity. Starscream and Soundwave spot the Autobots. Raoul and his friends are on an out-of-control... that was supposed to be two different bullet points. Sorry, folks. Starscream and Soundwave spot the Autobots in the club, and Starscream had asked Soundwave, how does two Autobots get past our security? Which... there really isn't that much security, seeing as how the Decepticons are supposed to be working in secret. In a later scene, Raoul and his friends are on an out-of-control train. Trax realizes this, and he and Blaster save them. Trax also realizes that there are out-of-place people everywhere. Raoul and Trax spot a building being built at 1 a.m. and investigate. The Constructicons aren't in this episode. What the hell am I... The construction workers spot them and start shooting. Raoul's friends get free passes to Dancitron. Why is it that bad humans / criminals are always in league with the Decepticons? I don't know, it's just a question I had. The friends of Raoul are under an ultrasound transmission spell and lead him into a trap. Blaster arrives and goes to find out what's going on. He finds that it is Soundwave controlling the audio. Raoul figures out that he needs to block his ears, as well as water cancels the hypnotic spell. Raoul's friends save Trax and they escape. Blaster versus Soundwave, round one. I will make mention of this in my thoughts here in a minute. Trax creates a thunderstorm to get all the people out from under the spell that are at the construction site. Blaster uses the woofers, the subwoofers, to defeat Soundwave. Trax outruns Starscream, and then Blaster destroys the building at the construction site, foiling the Decepticons' plans, whatever those might have been. I have really no idea what the hell Megatron was trying to do. We never find out what was supposed to be going on at the building site. At the end of the episode, Trax offers the kids if there is anything they can do, he offers them the clause, if there's anything that they can do, just ask. Blaster just keeps saying, oh no. They ask to use Blaster as their boombox until they can make enough money to buy a new one. Ending this episode. Dun-dun-dun. Now for my thoughts on this episode. I believe that this is the only episode in the entirety of the G1 cartoon that we see a Soundwave versus Blaster fight, other than what happens in Headmasters over in Japan. But for the US release, I think that this is the only episode that they fight. Correction. Since I've been going through Season 3 right now, Carnage in C Minor is the actual true G1 US series Blaster versus Soundwave fight. The animation in this episode was superb, just like a majority of the Season 2 episodes. It's nice to see more Earth episodes and less space episodes. I have gone back and looked at the Blaster-Soundwave fight, and there is a moment where Blaster's color scheme on his head is off model. Other than that, excellent and fun to watch episode.
Alita!
Wait! I have a better idea.
There must be some logical way out of here.
Of course! The Energon cubes! We could use them to blast our way out of here!
But they had to have been destroyed in the earthquake.
I put them in here for safekeeping.
All right, we need to get going!
Let's hope this works.
Oh, we need more than hope.
If Prime got past those guards, so can we.
The View Prime? How fitting that the Decepticons have finally captured Optimus Prime under my leadership!
Please, let him go.
Very well, my dear. Let him go into the acid!
No! Don't take me instead!
Don't be so anxious, Elita One! You'll have your turn right after Prime! Now, Rumble!
Resort. It drains all of my life force.
No.
Take me to Alpha Trion. He is the only one who can save me.
We shall find him. Hang on, Alita. We'll find Alpha Trion soon.
I don't know how much longer I can last. Fading.
Hang on, Alita. Just a little longer. Alpha Trion's base. Optimus Prime. Alpha Trion. I never expected to see you again. Alita One. Her life force is almost drained.
She used her special power. I warned her not to.
She did it to save me.
Follow me.
Up next, we have the search for Alpha Trion. Megatron sends a team of Decepticons to Cybertron after learning that Alita One and the female Autobots are conducting raids there. Alita One is captured, and Megatron uses her as bait to lure Optimus Prime to Cybertron. But when Prime's old flame is injured, only the Autobot sage Alpha Trion can save the day. Alrighty, we start this one off with a rarity. Female Transformers. Autobots Chromia, Firestar, and Moonracer are introduced in this episode. In the scene where, in the beginning, where they are conducting the raid on Shockwave's the Decepticon headquarters, getting Energon, Moonracer gets trapped, and we see Chromia blasting at the little entrapment to try to get her out. But then, in the next scene, we see Moonracer has gotten out. So how the hell did she get out? This is a Shockwave starring episode. We see Shockwave in this episode more than just his usual communication with Megatron that we've seen in previous episodes and the previous season. I believe this is the first ever episode with Alpha Trion. I'm not sure, I'd have to go back and look, but I think this is the first one ever introducing him. Alita One in this episode is Optimus' girlfriend. I guess. There's a scene where Alpha Trion tells Alita One not to use her special power for any reason. And when I was watching the episode, I'm like, huh? What? What the hell is her special power? The usual thing when Starscream, Astroterrain, and I think it's either Dirge or Ramjet, I forget which one, get to Cybertron. Starscream is mad with power, like always. The Decepticons capture Alita One. Megatron contacts Optimus Prime and tells him a tale of female Autobots. Optimus heads to the space bridge. The other Autobots, Ironhide and everybody else, wonders why he's doing this by himself. The other female Autobots blast... Oh, in the next scene, the Starscream, when he goes mad with power, has Rumble basically use his pile drivers to collapse the female Autobots' underground base in. So, female Autobots use the Energon they stole as explosives to blast their way out. Optimus nearly gets an acid bath. Alita One uses her special power, which is a weapon of last resort, and drains her life force, and allows Prime to escape. They must tail... the Decepticons must tail her to Alpha Trion. Oh, wait, no, that's not the right... Stupid iPhone. It was supposed to be Optimus must take her to Alpha Trion. The other Autobots arrive and the battle ensues. The females join the males in the fight against the Decepticons, and Starscream makes a comment. It's actually funny. Starscream makes a comment, "Oh, the girls have shown up to rescue their boyfriends." Chromia is about to blast Starscream, but he flies off. Optimus finds Alpha Trion's base. Alpha Trion is very cryptic because when Alpha Trion is trying to repair Alita, he tells Optimus that only he is compatible with her schematic, and Optimus questions him on how that's possible, and of course we all know already that Alpha Trion was Optimus' creator, which will be coming up in the next episode of the TFG1 podcast, episode 13, the episode War Dawn, will be reviewed next time. The Autobots are reunited with Prime and Alita, and the Decepticons are defeated. The male Autobots head back to Earth, leaving the females to fight on Cybertron. Now for my thoughts on this episode. Yay, a Cybertron episode, much better than just some random planet or moon in space. Shockwave in action. This was way cool. We've seen Mr. One-Eye before, but not this heavily featured in battle. As I said before in the synopsis bullet points, it is just a great episode, especially with, you know, the first premiere of the female Autobots and Alpha Trion. I believe this is the only episode that we see the female Autobots, those three, Chromia, Firestar, and Moonracer. And like I said before, Alpha Trion is very cryptic. Yeah, so.
Oh, I let that little brat down once, and I'm not going to give up till I find her. Astaria! What did you smash the antenna for? Do you want to get yourself killed?
I did it to save you, you dumb... Oh, yell at me, I don't care. As long as you're safe.
Oh, can the mush. You've got to...
Whoa!
Astaria! You little creep. If anything were to happen to you... Here, jump for it.
And what are you gonna do?
I got a little plan.
Then I'm staying with you, no matter what.
You're gonna drive me crazy. Get that panel open. There. Now I should be able to steer this floating parking lot. Huh? I fixed it perfectly. What could have gone wrong? You! You're the problem! Get out of here! You're jinxing the controls!
Oh, no. I'm staying with... You!
Much better. Now to program a new course.
I ought to sock you one. Hey! We're, like, still heading downward!
But of course! Get in!
We all got away with our hulls in one piece.
And as for the girl in the falling sky platform, well, that's Power Glide's problem.
Correction. Problem is ours.
Energize the force fields!
What force fields?
Attention, Decepticons! This is Megatron speaking! Your new orders are... clean up this mess!
Up next is The Girl Who Loved Power Glide. Oh, God. Oh, no. Powerglide thwarts an attempted Decepticon kidnapping of a young CEO named Astoria, and she falls for Powerglide. Megatron will stop at nothing to harness Astoria's secret energy formula. It is up to Powerglide to save the day, no matter how bothersome his new human friend may be. First of all, a couple of rants. This episode fucking sucks. I hate this episode. It's infuriating. Astoria is such a high-maintenance wench and so bratty. I just don't... Oh, God, it pisses me off to the point where I'm just shaking. The aerial battle with Powerglide and the Decepticon jets after he rescues Astoria is pretty cool. This all goes back to robot-slash-human weird relationships. Holy crap. Powerglide and Astoria are basically... two kids. Like, maybe, you know, 8 or 9, 10 or 11, that, you know, that kid crush type of deal. And she just wants to do everything her way. She wants to go flying. She wants to go get something to eat. Astoria is a fucking klutz. She interferes with all kinds of machinery. There is a scene where the Seekers arrive after they've gone back to Megatron and gotten bitched out by Megatron. They go back out after Astoria. And they arrive at a huge merry-go-round that Astoria and Power Glide are at. First of all, wait a fucking minute. A giant robot on a merry-go-round. What the fuck? The thing would break. This just goes back to all of the just weird Autobots trying to interact with humans. Like, a few episodes back, we had the Autobots playing football. I don't get it. But, you know, hey, it's G1, it's 80s, whatever. I mean, you know, it's a cartoon. Let's see. Power Glide defeats the jets and they escape, but not for long. Power Glide calls for help, but no one gets there in time. The jets find them again, and Power Glide is severely injured while Astoria is kidnapped. Power Glide can't fly, though he is too injured. Wheeljack and Ratchet arrive to fix up Power Glide.
Oh, crap.
Hey, that was the first yawn of the entire episode. Woohoo! I'm almost done. Anyway, Sky Spy makes a return in this episode. We find out that Megatron wants the energy formula that Astoria's father gave her, but she denies that she knows what he is talking about. Powerglide reaches Megatron's sky platform, but he barely gets through the energy rays. Astoria does know what the formula is. It is in her necklace. And she chucks it at the energy platform's, the little controller for the energy waves so she can save Powerglide. Powerglide crashes the platform into... Oh, I know what it was. Sorry. In the scene after Powerglide lands on the platform, he steers the platform towards Decepticon headquarters, which... Which for, you know, I don't know, some odd reason he knows where it is or whatever, which is kind of funny. The platform crashes into the underwater base, and Megatron tells them to get this place cleaned up. The episode ends with Power Glide showing... Oh, at the very end of the episode, you know, he's acting all like a teenage boy and everything else, and asking her if he can, you know, stop by and see her next time he's in town or whatever else. And as the episode ends, he is walking towards the camera, towards the viewer, and we see a digital glowing heart inside his chest plate. Thus ending this episode. Now for my thoughts on this episode. This, even though I fucking hate it, even though it's no Autobot Spike, it was an okay episode, but not overly exceedingly in excellence, but not so bad that it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. It shows how men and women, boys and girls, are mean to each other when they have quote-unquote feelings for one another. This was definitely a one-shot filler episode. I think my favorite part was at the end, when the sky platform crashes into the Decepticon headquarters and Megatron tells the Decepticons to get this mess cleaned up. I think he actually throws a mop at one of them. I'm not really sure, though.
What a stunt! What a robot! What did you say your name was?
They call me Hoist.
What a name! Good job, Moist!
Ready for my big scene, Mr. Director?
Huh? Oh, yeah, the robot. Okay, Moist, pick up a donut from the catering truck and relax until I call for you.
Donut?
Are we ready to do this, boys?
How was that for an entrance?
Trex? What's he doing here?
A bang-up
job of sharpshooting, eh, Hoyce? Yay! Wow!
Oh, everyone wants to get into the act.
The star has arrived! You don't want a star that can't get off the ground? I'll show you some real Oscar-winning material!
Oh no, the Autobots have gone movie mad!
Yeah, and the director's gonna be just playing mad.
And lastly up today, we have Hoist Goes Hollywood. Hoist and a few of the other Autobots catch the movie bug when Hoist is cast in a new motion picture. Dirge, carrying a Autobot device, crash lands inside the movie studio's back lot, and the Decepticons are on the march to get it back. Let's see, where do we start here? The episode starts off with Spike and Carly riding in Hoist when two cars go speeding by them, and they find out it's part of a movie shoot. Hoist saves the cars from crashing over the cliff. The director offers him a part in the movie. Meanwhile, Dirge can't fly and carry the cargo that Megatron wants, and he crashes at the movie studio. Megatron sends Astrotrain, Ramjet, and Thrust to rescue Dirge. All the Autobots want to get into the movies. Trax, Sunstreaker, Warpath, and Powerglide get in on the act. Little note here, I think this is the first episode we've seen Sunstreaker in a while. But the others are tired. Oh. Well, when they go to be in the movies, the director uses them as stunt vehicles, and they are tired of being banged up as the stunt vehicles. Astrotrain and the other jets arrive just as the movie stops shooting for the day. They take Dirge, and the film crew is filming the rescue. The episode then turns into a chase for the film that was shot of the Decepticons. Best part of the episode is that Megatron deactivates Starscream. Most of the Autobots, like Warpath and Trax and Powerglide, can't act for shit. There is a scene in the movie shoot where they are going to have like rocks thrown at a fake shuttle that the Autobots are in, and several small explosions. And there was supposed to be a front explosion, but it was real. It was not movie magic. Somebody is trying to sabotage the set. Carly and Spike get the film. Soundwave destroys it. Spike and Carly get lost in a jungle set. The Decepticons are in pursuit, but Carly has an idea, and Hoist helps her execute it. Hoist is actually a good actor. The Decepticons think the negative was destroyed when Hoist drops Spike and Carly into the lava. There's a scene at the end where there's, they set up this whole movie plot with, you know, muddy water and some sort of, you know, salt or something to create the look of lava, and they trick the Decepticons. Wheeljack and the rest of them watch the footage, and he says, "That's what Megatron wanted?" Question mark. "I never could get it to work, or I'd have brought it with us when we left Cybertron." At the end, the director offers Hoist another part, but he turns it down, and the episode ends. Now for my thoughts on this final episode. This was another one of those fun episodes. It was also another one where Prime wasn't in it at all, as well as being focused on more of the newer Autobots and Decepticons that have been introduced in this season. The only animation flub I've noticed was with the Seekers again, the usual off-model colors of each one and voices being different. This time it was Ramjet being shown as Thrust's colors, that's what it was. This is a pretty much a cut-and-dry episode. I really don't have much to say about it.
The Transformers will return after these messages.
Hey guys, what's going on? This is Mike the Birdman Dodd from This Week in Geek, and I love friggin' Transformers, so I fully endorse the TFG1 podcast.
From Iron Man to the Dark Knight, from Spider-Man to the X-Men, from Adventures in Babysitting to Torque, The M-Wire has all your movie review needs, a weekly podcast from PriticonEmpire.com, reviewing all movies.
Are you a fan of Transformers?
Yes.
then be sure to visit PredaconEmpire.com, your resource for Transformers media and more. Also, be sure to check out our podcast, All Things Transformers and the TFG1 Podcast. I'm Steve/Megatron, inviting you to come join the fun on the shows and the forums. So be sure to visit PredaconEmpire.com for all your Transformers needs. Enter now.
We now return to the Transformers.
Well, that's all for this episode of the TFG1 Podcast. Join me next time when I'll be reviewing 5 more episodes from Transformers Generation 1, Season 2. Those being The Key to Vector Sigma, Parts 1 and 2, Aerial Assault, War Dawn, and Trans-Europe Express. Thank you for joining me on the TFG1 Podcast. There are 4 ways for you to get in touch with me or leave feedback for the podcast. The first is you can visit the PredaconEmpire.com forums and get all your Transformers discussion topics there, as well as visiting the PredaconEmpire.com site and getting all kinds of exclusive downloadable content and everything else. It's really cool. The second is that you can follow me on Twitter. My name on there is TFG1 Podcast. The third is you can visit the Earth2.net forums. That's www.earth-2.net. I have a thread over there for the podcast under the banter section. And the fourth is the email address, which is tfg1podcast@gmail.com. For now, I am Michael Blanchard saying the immortal words of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out. And thank you for listening. Until next time.